Welcome back to Radio Islam International, the Screaming Reels program. Before we actually continue speaking about fishing and discussing our Screaming Reels program, earlier on Wednesday, somebody was telling me that you guys had some awards day and some functions and things like that. I'm not going to tell listeners more of what I heard. I heard a bit more than that.
Yeah? What did you hear?
No, just tell me what is awards thing or whatever. What was it about? Then I'll tell you more what I heard.
I attended the National Teacher Awards. Now, the National Teaching Awards is like the Miss South Africa for teachers.
Mm.
It's quite a big award. It's held by the Department of Education. In fact, the finals, which is the actual national winning team, or the national winners, they have supper or dinner with the president. So it's quite a prestigious award ceremony, G.
So on the day, basically, on the Wednesday is the day you have...
No, Wednesday was the provincial finals.
Okay.
So the winners from the provincial finals will now go to the national finals.
And that's when they have supper with the...
The winners from the national finals. In other words, the winners for every province now challenge the winners in every other province for national finals. So... they will then hold the title of whatever category they've entered into. For example, you've got excellence in primary school teaching, excellence in secondary school teaching, lifetime achievement award. There's various categories.
All right. So now the one that took place on Wednesday is basically...
that was the provincial finals.
All right.
That was held by the province, by Gauteng Department of Education.
Sure. Now then, I heard further than that also.
What did you
mean? I hear you taking the awards and things like that for some best teacher and all that.
Alhamdulillah, I entered in the category of excellence in technology enhanced teaching. So that's a category that's very complicated, because it's how you as a teacher use different ICTs, information and communication technology, in your classroom. Like, do you teach with a laptop and a projector, and do you use tablets? But it's also more to do with administration of the school. You know, what sort of administration, electronic administration you use. The MEC for Education, Mr. Panyaza Lesufi, is very determined to make every classroom what he calls a paperless classroom.
Mm.
So there's a lot of focus on this here. I'm sure you've seen some of the adverts around where they're talking about, the classroom of the future, where there will be no blackboards, there will be these smart boards in the classrooms. His vision is one tablet for one student, one tablet, one teacher, one laptop, one classroom, one smart board. That's sort of where they're going to, and I did enter into that particular category, so I was shortlisted, and that's why I attended the function.
Now, honestly, okay, first you must say Mubarak, mashallah. Allah take you from strength to strength, inshallah, make you a better teacher than a fisherman.
Inshallah. I'll try and combine both.
That pattern is not ever...
I do take my laptop to the water.
That type of fishing.
Yeah.
He needs to go there and said, okay, how do I get this guy out of here?
I was actually seeing this new technology that they have.
The app.
On the Dobber key. No, not the app. The app I checked.
How is that one?
On the Dobber key, there's a camera. So when you throw it in,
that's
it actually shows you the fish that bites. So you can pull it up if you don't like that particular fish.
I actually saw that, but... and just coming back to that aspect, right, where you said you want to paperless class. Honestly, I'm not saying no. I think it's impossible. But really, do you think right now that it's going to be possible?
Well,
didn't Soweto, one of the other schools, I think, started something like you said, and I think within the first term or things like that, the better part of the laptops or
the
technology stolen?
Yeah, now that's a huge issue, obviously, in South Africa, is theft. But I don't know the finer details of how the Department of Education is going to be putting that to the schools. I'm sure they've got a plan, because you can't just put smart boards, etc., in classrooms without putting added security. Now, every school in Gauteng has what we call a Gauteng Online Lab, which is very secure. you know, in terms of what they've done.
So
I would assume that every classroom would have to be like that. But like I say, it's not my place to actually talk about it, because I don't really know much about it. But I suppose if you don't make an effort or an attempt to get there, remember, as far as South Africa is concerned, we're very far behind. I would put us about 10 years behind the rest of the sort of advanced world in terms of technology. Sometimes we have phones that have come out now that we think, oh wow, but they've already been on the market for 5 years or 3 years. But
yeah, so I've got one question. How's the ladies going to throw paper jets at the girls? There's no paper
jets. That's a very good question.
Or swap answers. They'll send MMS and they'll send different type of
it's like, here's a jet coming.
Listen, there's a lot.
They can do pea shooting, and how are they going to do this type of thing?
There's a lot of negative aspects around in introducing technology, and it's got to be done very, very carefully. That's why I say we leave that to the policy makers, etc., to come up with the rules and regulations.
Why?
But I, as a teacher, I would personally like to use the technology, because it's information that's on hand. And today, children, they already know a lot of things before they even get to the classroom. So they come to me and they'll ask me a question. And I can't always answer them because, you know, I don't have the answer. So I have to take my phone out and go into Google or a few sites and check, you know, what's the best possible answer to give to the child. And that's the kind of thing you need to have available to you. But as far as the awards are concerned, make dua, alhamdulillah, I've been placed first in the province.
Mashallah.
So now I will be representing Gauteng province, inshallah, in the next leg of the competition, which will be the National Teacher Awards. Well, my interview is on Thursday next week. I request one and all to please remember me in your duas, inshallah. It's important to be recognized and to understand the platform of this particular competition, because it gives teachers honor and it gives teachers recognition. You know, today teachers, I mean, you yourself, you understand, you're in a teaching profession. We don't get the kind of respect that we used to offer to our teachers. It's a very different world out there today. You know, you've got to deal with parents that come and demand things from teachers. You've got children that are unruly. They demand things from teachers. And then you've got a department that is there that's putting demands on teachers as well. So it's good to actually have a platform where teachers are recognized for the good work that they do. And that is why I'm happy about it. And that is why I've entered this particular competition. And I request one and all, inshallah, to remember me in your duas, so that we can move with that. But fishing is the program, and
that's good just to know what it. I mean, this is our lesson.
Jazakallah for. I didn't really want to talk much about it, especially.
You couldn't get away. We got tabs on you.
Yeah, I can see that. But Jazakallah so much for the recognition.
Amen.
And like I say, please just remember me in your duas. And also, I would encourage young teachers that are there today also to, you know, to look into. I encourage young students to look into the profession of teaching, because it is an honorable profession, and it gives you the opportunity to do so many other things. Like alhamdulillah, since we've started this Sisinda Survival Camp that we talk about all the time on the radio, it's just growing, mashallah, from strength to strength. In fact, next week we've got a program it's an open program. Now, normally I would arrange with schools and take students out. This time we've put adverts on social media. We're working together with Green Dean as well as one of our network partners who's been promoting the particular programs that we are going to be doing. The boys camp, inshallah, we're having on the 14th to the 16th of December, which is from Monday to Wednesday. It's during the week. We thought early first week, some parents are still working, maybe they want to send their kids somewhere. Perfect. This is a perfect opportunity for children to go out and experience the environment, to learn very, very important life skills, survival skills. And of course, and I must mention this, you know, Solly's Angler's Corner, Sensation Angling Supplies, Okuma, they've come to the to the fore, and they've given us sponsorships of fishing rods and fishing tackle, etc., which we're going to use on our camps. So obviously a big part of the survival camp that we do is to do with fishing. And I must say, Alhamdulillah, and we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them lots of barakah, inshallah, because they've recognized the importance of training kids. What's a famous saying? You know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day.
Yes.
You teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And that's basically what the whole...
But you have to stop teaching him now.
Why?
He's still in the spots.
That's why when you go fishing, you can't catch anymore.
Exactly. Everyone's stolen the spots now already. Are there any plans for this weekend?
This weekend, very important.
I see, mashallah, you dressed in kurta and topi today.
Well,
I hope you don't have another announcement. This guy, he just started with announcements today.
Yeah.
He's going from one announcement to another announcement. Is your nikah or something?
No, do you know what happened? I've been up. Why I'm talking so fast, and I think I had too much coffee from this morning, because 3 o'clock, we had to leave from Azadwal to go to the airport, because I seen my father-in-law and my mother-in-law off. Alhamdulillah, they gone away.
I thought you were making nikah again.
I'm saying, Alhamdulillah, they gone away. I don't mean it like that. People will get the wrong wrong impression.
Why are you avoiding my question only, Mumtaz? You saw that?
No, I'm
not. 3 days in a row. I said, I thought the man making nikah today is dressed smart today. Now, Fasas is saying, Alhamdulillah, I'm already in a
family. You know, my wife... my wife is listening to this program. Watch your mouth. No, I'm dressed in kurta because I went to see my father-in-law and my mother-in-law off, you know.
Did I just say you're excited and you're happy today that they're gone?
I'm sad because they're gone. They're going to be gone for quite a while. And we make dua also that they go safely, inshallah, and reach the destination.
Let's get back to fishing. Let's leave your airport and your coffee and everything for now.
So I'm very, very... In fact, I think every day I should drink 3 cups of coffee before I come, because I'm really like on edge.
No, you're making too much announcements.
Assalamu alaikum.
The lines, yeah.
We've got Brother Luqman on. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Adi?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Luqman?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum, banana, and to all the listeners as well.
Assalamu alaikum, Luqman, how are you keeping?
Allah shukr. Yeah, Adil is sounding very chirpy this morning.
Yeah, he's just announcing and announcing, and if you had to see him, Luqman, you would have also thought the man is making nikah or something today.
Yeah, yeah, you can hear his voice is all fully charged.
Yeah.
He says, but the in-law's gone.
He says, because I went to drop my in-laws off at the airport.
You know how many times he said, Alhamdulillah, they're gone today. Alhamdulillah, I left them at the airport. And
everything is taken out of context. Luqman, a big, big, big story in terms of karpa fishing. Everywhere you look, all the social media, everybody's posting pictures of karpas. Give us a little bit of insight into what's happening in the karpa world.
Well, it's that time of the year, you know, where karpa start biting. It's not just this year, every year. It's just this year. It seems like it is better fishing than last year. But, alhamdulillah, the fish are biting all over the show. In actual fact, it's not one or two particular dam. So for all those serious and avid karpa fishers, you know, it's this time of the year that you must take your rods, reels, line, hooks, get ready and head off to your favorite karpa destination.
But Luqman, comparatively to other years, I mean, like you said, although yes, it is karpa season or karpa time, but I mean, in the last 2 or 3 years, there were not really dams that were producing karpa like we used to catch before. Whereas, come this year, like Adi is saying, I mean, all over the show, we know, I mean, one of the main reasons is the shortage of water in those areas and how low the waters are. But then on the other hand, you find that, okay, that means there've always been a sufficient amount of karpa in those dams. So what was stopping the people, what was the reason behind people not catching in those dams previously than when the waters were full?
I think it was when it was full, obviously they more spread out. You are still catching them, but not in the numbers. But this year, because the dam levels are lower, like you mentioned, so the fish are more concentrated, and obviously less water means less food. And that's why you'll find them biting a lot more, is because the worms and maruk and whatever you put in the water is extra food for them. So that's why, that's the reason you're catching a lot now, is because of the low water level.
Lukman, the of course we've got kerpa fishing happening at the moment. You know, what sort of we've done this discussion before. You know, do you guys have any products in store at the moment that you know will help guys in terms of their kerpa catches per se? Because I've seen some monster kerpa come out. Well, what sort of advice can you give them in terms of tackle?
Kerpa is, you know, it's actually one of the most or the least expensive types of fishing you can do, because you don't require lots of different baits or different rods and reels. It's basically just your normal coffee grinder spinning type of rod. Generally, you can do form those little 4 foot six or 5 foot ultra light rods, fishing like up to 6 pound line. And you can go on to use like a 7 or 8 foot. As long as it's a light action or soft rod, you know, where your bend is all the way through from the handle right to the tip is where you'll see the rod bending. Mm-hmm. That's the type of rod you want for kerpa so that you enjoy the fight. There's a good few number of people that even take a fly rod and just put a normal small coffee grinder onto it. Just so that you can have a decent fight and you can feel the fish pull nicely. Kerpa is generally done with light line, you know, maximum you're going to go to is about 10-pound line. But most people would fish around about the 6 or 8-pound line. And tackle is basics, you know, you've got a few hooks that you need, few floats, and couple of weights and split shot. If the fish are biting off the bottom, you use your weight. If they fish, I think, off the bottom, that's when the float comes. And there's different types of floats, but it's very easy, you know, kerpa is not a difficult fish to. As far as artificial baits, they are little 1-inch or 2-inch small plastic worms or grubs, as we call them, which also work effectively on a little, maybe a number 8 or number 6 hook. And then you pinch a split shot about 20 centimeters above your hook. And like you fish for bass, but this is done with an ultralight or light tackle. So you cast out that little grub and slowly work it off the bottom. And then also there's a lot of the art lure fishermen use little map spinners. You know, your size 0 or size 1 map spinners are also very effective for kerpa. I've got quite a few on them. And onto your treble hook, or some of the people cut the treble hook off and you put a decent single hook. And onto that hook you even put a bit of worm on it. And then spin with the worm again slowly off the bottom. So the map spinner also is a good artificial lure to use for kerpa as well.
Look, man, I didn't stick to the kerpa aspect.
No, I just because you were talking about the dover keys, and before you came on, Mulana and I were saying that, you know, there's this video going around on social media about this dover key that's got like a camera in it. Do you know anything about that one?
Not the dover key itself. There's we've got a product where you attach it to your line.
Okay.
And when you cast it in from the camera, you'd obviously have your hook with your weight or your spinner or your... So your camera is literally right in front of your bait. And you can actually... You can see the fish around your bait and actually taking your bait. So that's the type of camera we've got. We don't have one with the dover key.
No, your one sounds more exciting because then
around you,
yeah,
you're actually seeing the actual fish and you're seeing how they bite or how they're feeding or their feeding patterns or behavior. That's why they do it, so that to catch your fish easier.
Mm. And what's the cost of or something like that?
They're about 3,000 rand for this thing.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's obviously a submersible camera. It's
got underwater. Yeah.
And does it work with Wi-Fi or is there wired?
I'm not too sure. No, it's a wireless thing.
Wireless, okay.
Yeah, it's a wireless.
I see the video is going on. I see battery operated also this thing.
Yeah, but that one's on the dover key.
On the dover key itself, yeah.
But this one that Lukman's talking about is a little bit
more interesting.
I think if I you know, I would like to buy something like that just to go and have
check
the,
on
it's amazing because if you cast, I mean, think about it, if you cast in a spot and there's no fish there, you can reel up and go and try another spot.
Immediately.
Makes sense.
You know, just moving away from the karpa, I see another species of fish that many people are targeting right now is the yellow fishing as well.
Gee, Alhamdulillah, it's been good over the past couple, because one of two things, you know, not that it's a good thing, but the rains have been late and less. So the river has remained not fast flowing as fast or previous years. So you're getting more time to fish, more weekends are available because the flow of the water is not so much. And obviously with delayed or late rain and less, the water is also a lot cleaner. Normally this time of the year when we're having good rain, it's fast flowing, so access is limited, and the water with fast flowing water after rains, and it's generally dirty water with all the silt and muck everywhere. So the water is being cleaner for a longer period of time, and that's why guys have been doing well with yellows in the Vaal River especially. And a variety of baits are working, it's just not one particular. You got the your standard dough or milliput, you've got the flies, and also smallish little rapalas or crankbaits, they call them the ultralight crankbait. And even the odd map spinner in a size 1 or 2 will also work. So, Alhamdulillah, customers have been reporting with good catches.
Generally, for a guy going, not a regular fisherman, you know, because this I think, I don't know, this must be coming your way a lot as well, where guys will meet you and they'll say, you know, listen, I'm not a fisherman per se, but I'm just going here on the Vaal to get some yellow, some carp, just for the day with the family to take the lights out. But what would you advise them? How do they prepare themselves for a short day of yellow fishing or carp fishing like that very quickly?
Well, we get it asked on a daily basis. You know, every day we've got those type of customers coming into the shop. It's very basic. You don't need a lot of stuff again because the river is flowing, so your standard way of catching carp or yellows with a millie bomb and all that is actually not a waste, but it's not very effective. You will catch, but if you want to catch more fish and have more fun, ideally you want to, if you're fishing a spot and you can sit on some rocks or with a decent amount of flow past you, then you don't even have to wade into the river. You just sit on some, it's a lot safer that way if you sit on some rocks with a decent current or stream flowing past you. And cast upward to the stream. So all you need is very lightweight or even split shot, a few small hooks. And on your bait, on your hook, you're going to probably put some floaties that are common with carp and yellow fishing. You can fish standard milliput or some dough. And alternatively, you can get into the stream, but again, we stress on the safety aspect where take your precautions with a decent pair of wading shoe or wading boot. Make sure you got a decent wading stick so you can feel for the holes. And that would be the most effective, to get into the stream and fish upstream and cast, you know, next to big boulders or rocks and drift. Your line should drift. And doing the same thing with the dough or the milliput or floaty. And also with a normal spinning rod, instead of dough or milliput, you can also put flies. So you don't have to have a fly rod. You can also just put some split shot and fish with flies or your lures. So it's not necessary that you have to have a fly rod to do that. So that would be my advice, is just grab a couple of basic hooks, some swivel, some small sliding weights and split shot, and your favorite type of bait that you normally fish with.
Looky, on that fly rod, like you say, you put a fly on a normal rod. Sometimes you see these fly fishermen are fishing, but they've got something that looks like a little dobberkie on there. What is that?
That's actually a strike indicator.
Okay.
You can either get it, it's either plastic foam or even a yarn, which is more like treated wool. That's got what we call a floatant onto it that keeps it very buoyant. And all that is to see when the fish is biting.
So it works the same like a normal, it goes into
normal,
the water?
Normal, like what we call a float, dobberkie, or policeman, but it's something that a fly fisherman, you can vary the depth of it, but there's difference of opinion. Some guys like it the length of your leader, which is around about 9 foot. Others prefer it the depth that you're wading. Others would have it a meter, 2 meters. So everybody has his own different position of putting it or position where they want it. But the general rule is the depth that you're wading. That's the depth that you keep that strike indicator is what it's called.
Jazakallah, Luqman, any final advices before you go back to the counter?
As per usual, you know, we encourage all that are traveling, you know, please travel safely. The roads are not the safest this time of the year. Remember your du'as, remember us in your du'as. And wherever you are, you know, we keep stressing about conserving, preserving, and trying to portray a good picture of Islam. You know, our religion is tarnished all over the world. You know, people are just hammering us left, right, and center. So it's a good opportunity when we mixing or, fellow fishermen of different religions, is to show our character and show them the true picture and true portrait of Islam, what Islam really is. And that can only happen by our good behavior. You know, let us not be rowdy, noisy. Let's not dirty and leave our rubbish line clean up after we fished or had a picnic. So that would be the advice, is just to try and, like we say, be good Muslims wherever we are.
When shop open right through?
Gee, inshallah, it will be open right through. And on Saturdays, just for this busy season, normally we close at 1, so we're going to extend the hours to around about 1:30, to give those that are working also a chance to come in. The next couple of Sundays as well, inshallah, we'll also be trading for the morning part as well.
So look, now we're stuck in a shop, no?
Yes, yeah. Inshallah, maybe one of the Saturdays we'll come join you there and do a live program from the shop, inshallah.
Inshallah. The problem is I'll be selling you. I won't be selling the custom.
Luqman Mia, always a pleasure talking to you. Jazakallah so much for that. That's Luqman Mia from Swally's Angler's Corner. We'll chat to you, inshallah, next week.
And you know what's interesting about this here, like both the two species that we mentioned today, karpa and yellow, or even your catfishing that Luqman mentioned about. Like I say again, it's something that you're going to hear people coming regularly to ask you this question.
Mm.
So just for the agent to go somewhere quickly, man, I just got a rod in there. What can I take with it, you know? But now, again, I mean, you don't want to send him. You don't want to send him now to the tackle shop and make him go buy 1,000 rands worth of tackle and things like that. Because the man is just going for the day. He's probably going to go after another year, if not longer.
Mm.
You know, somebody like Mohd Bilal. But I mean, Mohd Bilal is professional.
He's well equipped.
He's well equipped, professional. Says that, I don't know why he doesn't go so much nowadays.
My advice is, like Luqman said, obviously.
It makes it so much easier the way he said it.
They've got a good set idea behind it. Mm. Stick to the basics.
That's it. You're going for the day, or you teach your kids a little bit about fishing, or just for the day, you want them to enjoy the day. Then this is the ideal way. I mean, you just get a few basic stuff, you can enjoy yourself for the day. Yeah, if you get hooked on after that, then I mean, set up for the story.
Well, that was the whole plan, ultimately, yeah.
Then you can go back and go buy the equipment and the rods and the reels and the dobber key with the cameras around it.
It's getting advanced now. It's fishing.
You can cheat and fish.
Tech fishing, yeah. But think about it.
But you know, I don't know why. It would be fun. It would be fun. I'm not saying no, definitely.
But you feel you're cheating.
No, not you feel you're cheating, but you don't want it must be that easy also.
Because
like they always say, it's called fishing, it's not called catching.
100%. What a wah, wah, wah. What a like poetry. This guy's like a fisherman's poet. Like, it's called fishing, not catching, yeah.
100%. I mean, you go there fishing.
This comes from a man who says that 20 fish that he caught in one day wasn't enough. You see?
It wasn't. It was a bad news.
After the break, inshallah, we will be chatting to Farad from Farad Ayub. People must be listening to me every time saying Farad. It's Farad Ayub from Durban. And he's got a boat there on the harbor. He'll tell us a little bit more about that, inshallah. But more on that, inshallah, after the head.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. I didn't know you said that you're sleeping. I mean, I wouldn't blame you even if you did fall asleep with that long ad break that we had. Mm. I could have had my Milo and went to bed even. Yeah. Like how the mother will send you to bed. Go toilet, bring your Milo, brush your teeth. We could have done all of that and still went to bed.
You know what would have been lekker if we had that breakfast, you know?
Hey, that's really, yeah, whenever we had that, we never ever had such wonderful head breaks.
It would have been good.
That nice fresh fish and it.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Those roti days we used to get.
And, yeah.
Allah.
It was Uncle Rashid Lely and his family used to prepare. Uncle Auntie Rashid used to make fish cakes.
His mouth is watering. Mm. Okay, when last you've been fishing? No, we ask, you know, when last have you been fishing? Were you out? Well, tell us now. Last weekend, week before?
Mohammed Bilal is one of those guys, when he goes fishing, he doesn't tell anybody where he's going and what he's doing. He's one of those guys, you know. You know when you go fishing, and you can see this guy's catching and catching, and then he's using the pink sweet, for example, as bait.
And then
go and tell him...
It's just the regular sweet.
No, you just normal brown bread. And he makes you put the brown bread on and go and fish at it, and then you still don't catch it.
Easy normal stuff here. No, the spot here has gone very quiet all suddenly. You know, early on I was dead set for driving.
Yeah.
And you also go stand there when I manage to
shave like a bichara.
Why you need to refill more beer?
Don't do that, yeah.
Your guest is waiting for you.
We've got Farhad Ayub online from Durban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Farhad, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, and you are there?
Shukr, can't complain. Farhad, we know we kept you on a little bit longer.
Enjoying ourselves,
We can't wait to hear all the exciting things happening on that side of the world. What can you tell us about the latest fishing adventures that you guys have had?
Well, fishing has improved. Has really improved in Durban Harbour, out at sea as well. I think it's due, it's because of that rain that we're having, the drought, and now that we're having some rain coming through, the grunters are on the bite in Durban Harbour. We've been getting a lot of bottoms, you know, out deep sea, slingers, your soldiers, some nice big rockhard. Also, a few of my friends that went out trawling, they got a few dorados that are now coming through. So the season starting off with a bang. It was a drought on fishing. It's starting to happen now.
Farhad, you know, just on that aspect, just away from the fishing aspect shortly, you mentioned that previously the drought and now some rain. Of course, when you hear from this idea, then you hear a lot of people say, no, I was in Durban for the weekend, I was in Durban for the week, and for the better part of the days it was raining. Is it sufficient rain already, or is there still a need for a lot of rain?
There's still a need for a lot of rain. The Hazelmere Dam is quite down. There's actually a load shedding on water there. So, I've been to Jozini last week. The dam levels are quite low there. So, there's still a need for a lot of rain. However, when the rain comes, you know, it comes with barakat and the fishing has improved big time.
You say you're in Jozini Dam. How is the tiger fishing doing that side?
I just took some people sightseeing. The tiger fishing is on. I spoke to a local there, and he says it's tiger fish is on a bite, and he suspects because the water level is low, and it's hard to get you know, food and stuff like that. Like Brother Lukman mentioned earlier on the show, I think that is a key factor.
So you're saying that the tiger fishing, the guys are saying in Jozini, is good at the moment.
It's good at the moment.
Okay.
What's the distance from central Durban or from you guys in Durban to Jozini then?
Say again, the distance?
Yeah.
It's about 360 kilometers.
Okay. It's like going from here to Durban.
Sure. Yeah.
Getting back to the harbour.
Yeah. Look, the harbour, guys have been having a lot of fun, a lot of good catches. I sent you some pictures last night that of fish caught on the boat, averaging from 1 kilo
and
to
3 kilos.
The
grunter
sizes are good. My friends out there with you, Farhad, they also say they had a good trip. They enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, Yes, they also caught a couple of fish as well. So, I mean, you know, sugar for that. Normal happens, you know, on the day, the tide, all of these things are a key factor. So, I mean, sugar is the day that they choose, to, you know, was beneficial.
Farad, the people coming down now for holiday, lots of guys are going to want to go fishing, etc. You know, what sort of advices can you give them in terms of where they can go fishing if they want to do some shore angling, and obviously if they want to do boat fishing, you know, maybe how they can get into contact with you?
Okay, I'll give you my number. I've also got a website, Hook Up Fishing Charters. On the shore, Blue Lagoon is open. There's been some big catch, some big shad around, up to about five, six kilos. Not a lot, but there's been some big boys around. Fishing on the shore in general has not been that good, but you know, the locals, the guys that fish every day for a living, they've been getting some good fish. When it comes to harbour fishing on the side, there's only two areas that are open. One is the bat center, you know, where the museum is, where that area is open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of tackle, if you're fishing off the side, you're going to need at least a 10-foot rod, minimum. But if you're on the boat, your spinner rods, you know, the ones you use for the crimper and stuff.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, those 6-foot, 8-foot with a 6-pound line, 8-pound
line. Wait. I must say something now. You mean the ones you guys were laughing at us when we brought it on the boat? Because you all had your mamu rods with your people's ball races, and then we hooked that one hammerhead shark there, and those guys kept quiet after that. You mean those small little rods?
Same thing happened. Same thing.
But you see, those are quite strong rods, you know, those little ones.
No, they are quite strong, but understand something. You're using that in the back line.
Yeah.
And this is the bay. If you use this in the bay, you get away with it. But in the back line, if you have something decent, like if you had hooked a tuna or a big kingfish, I guarantee you, you would have still been crying about it.
But generally, do you guys provide rods and reels for customers?
Yes, we do. We do provide rod and reel for those guys, you know, that cannot accommodate their own tackle. But we do have a handful of guys from Joburg that do carry their own tackle. They do carry their own lures, because normally at this time of the year, there's some guys like to spin in the bay. There's certain areas that there's kingfish and queenfish. Yes, that are on the bites. They normally take a little flap or a small rapala, rattler, you know, even a little spoon as well. I've actually tried the glow spoon earlier this year at night. At night, yes.
Yeah.
There's a glow spoon. You know, you put it under the light and it glows up. And I was successful with it. I got 2 kingfish with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the first outing with it. So it goes to show that, you know, you never know what will work until you try it.
Definitely, Farad. We're running out of time. Give us that number quickly so that if anybody's coming through to Durbs, they can join you on. You said the boat is Hook Up.
Hook Up Fishing Charters.
Hook Up Fishing Charters. And that's www.hookupfishingcharters.co.za.
Yes.
And then your number?
My number is 073-140-8507.
Give it again for that.
073-140-8507.
Farad, jazakallah so much for that interview. Inshallah, we will chat to you again. I do hope that I will be going to Durban soon, and maybe I can spend some time with you on the boat as well.
Inshallah. So, Adil, I just want to say assalamu alaikum to my uncle in New Zealand, Uncle Raymond. He's listening to us live there.
Okay.
And jazakallah for giving me this opportunity to come on live. And inshallah to all the people that are coming down to Joburg, travel safe. It's that time of the year. You know, the roads are quite dangerous. So inshallah, when you get to Durban and you want to fish, we can hook up.
Amen. Jazakallah for that, Farad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I think a big plus for the rest of them was knowing that somebody in New Zealand is listening there.
It's good to actually do a program one day where we find out where people are listening to us from. And maybe sometimes hear about fishing in those areas as well. That would be excellent.
That will be something nice. Yeah. You must tell us fishing in those regions.
Before I go off, please, Molana, I have to just say this.
You got 20 seconds.
We are running a camp next week, inshallah. Please contact me if you want to send your kids on that camp. We still got about 25 places left for the camp. You can call me. It's Adil Mangli. 061-459-2272. 061-459-2272.
Just call me, inshallah,
Otherwise, you can even go to fishingfanatics.com. That's fishingfanatics with IX.
With the IX. Mohd Bilal? Zakallah Adil, we'll catch up with you next week, Saturday, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sajati mullah to all our wonderful listeners. I didn't say it last week, I have to say it now.
See, you guys are Guarani, all your time is gone.